Welcome to the Decipher podcast. This is Lindsay O'Donnell Welch with Decipher, and I'm pleased to be joined today by Lachlan McGill, General Manager of Cyber Risk and Compliance with the Salvation Army, and Ewan Moore, Security Operations Manager with the Salvation Army. Thank you both for joining me today.
Thanks for having us.
Glad to be here.
Yeah. So, would love to start off just, you know, if you could both talk a little bit about how you got into cybersecurity and what specifically drew you to the Salvation Army. Maybe Lachlan, starting with you.
Sure. So, I've been involved in IT for a long, long time, probably over 30 years now. And, you know, I've done my dues in help desk and second level support, third level support, and making my way up. But I got into cybersecurity probably 20 years ago now, as a consultant for IBM working identity management. I really found my calling with security. It fascinated me and I was really drawn to it. Worked my way up through IBM as a consultant and led security for a bank and moved on to a healthcare organization, and then found myself at the Salvation Army. And I think what drew me to the Salvation Army was, I think, their sense of community and assistance of disadvantaged people, and that coming to work with a purpose every day is quite motivating, quite inspiring. So that was sort of my journey in a nutshell. You know, I've been with the Salvation Army for nearly 5 years now, and it continues to evolve and continues to inspire and challenge it has been a fantastic journey.
Excellent. Yeah. Ewan, what about you?
So I started my career, in fact, with the Salvation Army. I initially started off as a volunteer doing work for the communications team, as it was known at that time. I think it was a 2-month volunteering gig that I had initially. And then I got a temporary role because one of the staff members was going on leave. So they wanted me to just fill in that gap temporarily. And as soon as I joined, I was given a lot more responsibility and definitely helped in other areas where there was support needed, I guess. And that was a 3-month stint initially, but it kept getting extended by 1 month and then another 3 months and then another 3 months. And it went on like that for about, I would say, a year. And then I became a full-time member of the infrastructure team, as it was known back then. So I started off as a typical sysadmin. Just working on servers, doing backups, and I did that for a period of maybe 5 years. That was before we had a cybersecurity function within the Salvation Army. And when we did set up that function, Lachlan was the first person to be in that cybersecurity team, and they recruited for a cybersecurity specialist at that point, and I decided to throw my hat in the ring. And that's when I began my security journey. It's been 4+ years now, and I've become a security operations manager, which was set up in October last year. And we've grown from a 2-person team to 6 right now, with a volunteer as well. So yeah, we're definitely trying to mature ourselves and take on more responsibility and just trying to protect the army in any way we can.
Yeah, it's great to hear that you guys have both been there really from the start and have built up this team and kind of this program. Would love to hear more. When you first came in, what were some of the unique security challenges that the Salvation Army faced, and how did you kind of take steps to manage those various threats and risks? What were you seeing there?
I mean, we had, considering, we were the first members of the cybersecurity team. We came in where the army was at a reasonably low maturity relative to the rest of the industry. But what really kind of opened my eyes about the Salvation Army was the number of different industry verticals that they're a part of, which is something that's pretty unique to organizations that I've been involved with. So, when people think of the Salvation Army, they think of retail stores and, which we've got a strong foothold in, but we're also in aged care, we're in employment services, we're in funerals, we're in financial advice, we're in education, we run schools, we run childcare centres, we do a lot of social services, alcohol and drug addiction, homelessness, domestic violence, we do emergency disaster response. And with that comes unique challenges in that each one of those industries has different requirements. And we also get a lot of our funding from government in providing services. So the government also mandates requirements and regulatory obligations that come with that. So it's extraordinarily complex setup in the Salvation Army. So that's one of the challenges. But when I first started, I'll come back to that low maturity, and we just had to try and build a strong foundation of security in order to then start thinking about measures in which we could improve the culture. So I think first off, we just looked at things like endpoint protection, email security, and web security, and security awareness, and how we could improve ourselves in those areas, and started looking at replacing technology just in those foundational things in order to get to a base level where we're reasonably comfortable.
Yeah, I'd imagine to your point about being kind of touching on a number of different vertical markets and sectors, like the different types of data too, and the compliance, like different types of compliance is so different in terms of what you need to deal with, and also the PII that you're dealing with specifically, and how, some of that is extremely sensitive that you were describing. So I'm sure that is a very unique challenge for the Salvation Army that you had to kind of navigate.
Yeah, that's right. And extremely sensitive information that we do need to deal with, a lot of health information. And you think about the alcohol and drug addiction, and there's people who are struggling in society and with alcohol and drugs, and you think about some of the information that's collected around that. And also some, information around domestic violence and locations of women and children's refuges and things like that, and identity information is very sensitive. And in some of the agreements that we have with government departments, they'll have their own requirements around how we protect information. And I know with some of the big challenges we've had in the last few years is with our employment services side of the business, and they're mandated from the government to be compliant with ISO 27001, Australian Essential 8 standard, and also the Australian government's information security manual. Now, we have to get audited to those three every year. And that's just one government agreement of several that we have across the organisation. So, yeah, it's difficult to keep on top of. And with the different areas of the business, a lot of them have their own ways of storing and handling that information. So it's important to keep on top of that as well. So yeah, it's a complex setup with complex requirements.
Yeah, definitely. Now, you know, you mentioned kind of building that strong foundation to meet some of these unique challenges. What were some of kind of the measures that have been implemented to really improve the organization's cybersecurity posture and maturity? And what are, like, what would you say are like some of the big first steps that you have taken to really try to meet the challenge here?
Yeah, I might let Ewan talk about some of the technology that was rolled out.
Sure. So I think one of the initial pieces of work that we did that was really important was doing a assessment to determine where the organization was at that point in time. Sort of gave us a baseline to tell us, you know, which areas we needed to work on, which areas, you know, we need to focus, you know, some strength on. So that was a major driver in, you know, telling us, yeah, okay, we're sort of okay in this department, but we're severely lacking in this other area. So as Lachlan mentioned, one of the first things we did was improve our endpoint security, because, you know, if we do have an incident, that's where we're going to get compromised on, and that's what we need to be protecting mainly. It was at that point in time that we also began to shift to Office 365, and that brought additional challenges for us because our users weren't using Outlook before, and now they had Outlook on the web, which they could access from anywhere. And what we found was we were getting a lot of phishing compromises because I think users just weren't aware of what phishing was at that point. So we needed to start this whole campaign on educating people on how to be safe online, how to spot phishing attempts. And I think initially when we moved to Office 365, yeah, most of our sort of initial compromises were people's accounts getting hijacked. Yeah. And we had to move quickly to figure out a way to secure that. And that's where MFA came into play. Because once we began rolling out MFA for everyone, that number of compromises went down. And that allowed us to shift focus to other areas where we needed to improve stance.
Yeah, MFA was certainly one of the biggest technologies that we rolled out that provided us a lot of benefit, because as Ewan said, we were getting hit left, right and center with identity attacks, and we still are. Thankfully, you know, we have good protections in place now where we don't experience a lot of consequences in that area, but you know, MFA is not easy to roll out. But so that was a challenge. And yeah, endpoint security, as Ewan said, we we did roll that out. That was the Cisco product, and something that we were conscious of when we did look at the technology uplift is we were a small team. There was just the two of us at the time. So we needed technology that would help us to be efficient and very effective in what we did, because we couldn't assign a lot of resources. We couldn't go out to market and just choose one product that Gartner said was the best in their breed, because we didn't want to end up with 8 or 9 different tools across 8 or 9 different vendors. It was just going to be too hard to manage. So we were conscious that we wanted our technology tool sets to integrate well. So with that in mind, we were just looking at mostly just single vendors where all the products could integrate and integrate well, and just not put too much of a burden on the team in overhead in managing that tool set. And that's one of the key reasons we went with Cisco in providing that overarching foundational security controls. So correct me if I'm missing anything, Ewan, but we went with endpoint, email, partly web, CASB. Yeah,
we already had Umbrella at that point as well.
Yeah, we already had Umbrella. And some of their tools, such as threat response, or secure malware analytics, and at the time, SecureX, which were some of those integration pieces that, yeah, really, that those foundational tools raised our security maturity significantly at the time. And that was really the platform for us moving forward to get our technology maturity up to where it needed to be.
Right. Yeah, it's really interesting to hear kind of about the rollout and how that the maturity has kind of increased over time too. And when you're looking at, you know, kind of beyond these technologies, like building awareness, I guess, around security and kind of promoting that type of security culture in an organization, what were some steps you took there? Like, was that something that you were kind of keeping in mind as well, or did that kind of fall into place because you were using these technologies and tools and products?
So the awareness across the organization, yeah, I mean, any security person will tell you you can put in technology as much as you want, and it'll help you to provide some control and some protection. But if you really want to elevate your security maturity, you're going to have to change the culture across the organization. And that's a lot harder to do. I remember we were chatting, you and I can't remember what we were chatting about, but I still remember this comment that you made when you join security. After a while, you understood that security is not about technology, it's about people.
Yep.
And maybe you can talk about that in a minute, but what I guess what security teams and leaders need to understand is that people across the organization are your best control. So making people aware of what security means and what the impact of doing the wrong thing can mean to an organization is critical. And raising that level of awareness is hard. It's about I've found that the Salvation Army has been about getting buy-in from the board and executives, because that's where the culture comes from. It comes from the top and it moves its way down. So we've been lucky in our roles in that we've got that level of support, and they want to know about security. They want to know how it's doing. They ask for regular reporting on a monthly basis. We report to the board on a quarterly basis, and they're asking for reports on our maturity. So when we think about raising awareness and developing a good culture across the organisation, one thing that's helped us a lot is reporting, without a doubt, letting people know how we're progressing. You know, every couple of years we do a follow-up security maturity assessment, and that's been key for us in raising awareness, because we do communicate that kind of thing right across the organization in how we're going. And I think we've reached a point now. I like to think, you know how good your culture is when people start coming to you asking about security. So in our team, we create a culture of every engagement with the business is an opportunity to enhance our standing as a security team. And we're very approachable, and we pride ourselves on that. And what we're noticing now is people are coming to us asking about security. I have business leaders coming to me saying, can you come and speak about security to the team? I don't have to reach out anymore to department heads saying, can I come and talk about security at your team meeting? I have people reaching out to me now, which is fantastic. And I think that shows a growing security culture across the organization.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but another point I'd like to add to that. When you're implementing security, you can do it one of two ways. You can try to be the big policeman with this big stick and try to get everybody to fall in line. Mm-hmm. Or you could be the usher in the theater, guiding people to where they need to be. So with an organization the size of the Salvation Army, where we have 10,000 users, 10,000 plus, if we took that policeman approach, our users would just find ways to go around us. So having that amount of staff going around you because you're trying to be authoritative, they would find every single vulnerability that you've got. Mm-hmm. And it's a whole lot better when people approach you and ask you, hey, I want to do this. What's the best way to do it? Instead of just doing something and then telling you, oh yeah, we've been doing this for years. So there was also that culture shift where users found us a lot more engaging and a lot better to have us have that discussion initially, as opposed to doing something one way and then us finding out about it. So we're at that conversation right at the beginning, as opposed to us finding out something, years after the fact.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And when the business engages us, what they're finding is we're conscious we want to go into meetings with a yes mindset. And we will find a way to assist the business in what they want to do, but we'll put guardrails around that. At the end of the day, we're risk practitioners. We advise the business of the risk of doing something. and controls that we can put in place that allows them to achieve what they want to achieve. So if you can get to have a way of working where they can have that yes mindset and they can be good risk practitioners, then you will have a culture where the business approaches you instead of you approaching business when something goes wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that idea of shifting it from, you know, kind of a one directional telling people what to do or what the risks are, to it being more of a conversation and almost like a business enablement and kind of education of the risk, as opposed to, you know, kind of a slap on the wrist. So that's a really good point. Now, you know, I would love to hear from both of you about when we're looking at the security threats right now that are in, you know, prevalent in the landscape. What are some of the big ones that are, you know, you guys are looking at and you're aware of and you're trying to protect against?
The first thing I thought of when you were asking that question is something that we're struggling a bit with lately is our personnel want to bring their own devices into work. Mm-hmm. They want to have, they're comfortable with their own devices. And on top of that, they're comfortable with their old devices. Mm-hmm. So we've recently gone through this program of replacing all our old operating systems with newer supported operating systems. But some people in the business, they want to keep their old one. They like it. It works. They're familiar with it. They know how to get around. Their applications run on it. Everything's been working on it for years, and they love it, and they want to keep it, and they want to use it. So we're trying to, I guess, facilitate that and allow people to bring any device that they want into work. So we're grappling with that at the moment, because it, you know, it leads back to the conversation we were just having, and we don't want to be the police where we say, no, you can't do something. We want to be those people that say, yes, you can do something if you do this, this, and this in order to keep our information safe and our other staff and our clients safe. So that's one of the things that I thought of in response to that question. But, you know, security is something that you can wake up in the morning and everything's different and there's something new that you have to deal with. So at the end of 2022, when generative artificial intelligence came and slapped us all in the face, that presented new challenges and continues to do so, because I don't think any of us realize still about how that's going to impact us in future and what that means for the security of our information. I'm not sure, Ewan, what your biggest issues are at the moment.
I think if you ask me what keeps me awake at night, I would say it's the thing that
apart from your kids.
Don't know. Well, apart from my kids, and sometimes we my dog. it's the thing that we don't know about, you know. What hole do we have in our firewall that we're unaware of? Or what device do we have plugged into our network that we have no control over? It's the unknowns that sort of keep me awake. We can do all we can with everything that we know about, but if we don't know about, you know, something, then yeah, what can you do? So
yeah,
that's our biggest challenge right now.
Cybersecurity is one of those occupations where it's not for everyone. Certainly, I think you have to be a little bit demented to be in cybersecurity, but I think it's one of those occupations where you need to be comfortable knowing that no matter how much you do, it's never going to be enough. Mm-hmm. And I think it's, I was thinking about this the other day, and it's one of those areas where if you're dealing with an issue and you don't dot every I and cross every T, that could come back to bite you really, really badly. Mm-hmm. If you don't, like, if you have an incident come in and you don't deal with that thoroughly, you don't go down every rabbit hole that there is to go down, then what you miss may be the cause of the next major data breach. So it's a really unique kind of aspect of working in security. You can't just deal with an incident in a haphazard fashion. You've got to be really thorough, because if you don't, you might wake up the next morning and the whole world has gone to shit. And so it's I guess it's quite a unique industry within IT because of that aspect.
Yeah, it really is. And you know, I'd imagine there's you know, quite a large amount of stress and like different things that go into that as well. So, but it's definitely a job where, like you said, you're not, if you wake up, you're going to have a whole different set of problems every single day.
Yeah. And I think one way to give yourself some sort of peace of mind, when you're working on cybersecurity, is to be completely open and transparent. You know, I've worked with some people that, not many, thankfully, but I've worked with some people that when they find issues, they'll keep it to themselves. And I think they do that because they think that these kind of vulnerabilities or risks or exposures puts them in a bad light. But I look at it in a way that if you're completely open and transparent about all the vulnerabilities in your environment, and you've measured the risk of all those vulnerabilities, then that certainly helps you to sleep at night. I think risk management is a critical factor in the cybersecurity industry. And if you do risk management really well, I think that is a critical factor in obtaining the resources and the funding to do what you need to do. Because, you know, if something does go wrong and you experience a major data breach, I mean, if it's obviously undesirable and it's a horrible experience, but at least you can say, I documented that risk. Everyone knew about it. The last thing you want is to have a major data breach and it was caused by something that only you knew about and you didn't tell anyone. I think that would be, certainly that scenario certainly wouldn't be an experience I'd want to go through.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I feel like when you look at how you define and measure success in the cybersecurity landscape, like it's not necessarily to your point about, you know, we don't have any flaws, we don't have any vulnerabilities. It's about everyone's insecure, we have weaknesses, we have vulnerabilities. How well are we managing that? How well are we conveying that to, you know, the board? And, you know, how well are we jumping on things that need to be prioritized?
Yeah. And risk management and communication of that risk is an art. And if you're a cybersecurity leader, you've got to master that art. Not only do you have to articulate the risk well in terms that senior people in the organization understand and can relate to, it's all about coming back to the business objectives and business risk. And if you can't do that well, then you're going to struggle.
Right. Well said. All right. Well, Lachlan Ewan, thank you so much for taking the time today. This was really helpful to hear about both of your stories getting into cybersecurity and also your experiences at the Salvation Army and what you've done to expand the security program and maturity there. So I really appreciate you both taking the time.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you.
Not a problem. Thanks for having us.
Awesome. Thank you both. While you were hacking the planet.